Hi, this is Mary H.K. Choi, and you're listening to Hey Cool Life, a micropod about mental health and creativity. This is episode 152, and it is March 31st, 2023. reflecting on the past week, it's been really fast. And I think it's because there's been a lot of work. Right now I'm focusing on three things. And one is that I'm working on an outline for a pilot. And that's really exciting. And I have a meeting about it next week. And I'm also working on my fourth book, which is my first adult novel. And if you listen to me talk about it, you will always hear that I say it in italics as if it's like, you know, a steamy NC-17 novel because it's adult. I don't super ever mentally delineate. And I think a lot of librarians and booksellers might agree with me that I write YA, but not strictly. And I think the only difference between the next book is that, and the three previous books that I wrote, is that the next book is just a little bit more, I mean, it's way hornier. Everybody definitely fucks, but it's also just a bit darker. But yeah, I don't know if that's just me progressing towards that or if it's like, I don't know, like altered in a substantial way for like maturity. Another weird thing that's going on with that, and I'll get back to the third thing that I'm working on, is that my books are banned. And it's so incredible to think about because different books are banned for different reasons. Predominantly it's Yoke, which is not surprising, but Permanent Record is also banned, I think, in parts of Florida, which is, I suppose, not that surprising. But yeah, that really throws me, and I don't know, like, certain sex scenes are way more graphic in Yoke, and certainly with just the nature of that relationship and everyone being older, that surprises me less. But anyway, the third thing that I'm focusing on this week is I came in as a consulting producer for a show that is already happening. And I'm just like there for 2 weeks to punch up scripts and just to zhuzh a little dialogue. And it's been so, so fun. And it's mostly kind of like a favor to me to see, just to see how the sausage gets made. And that's been really interesting. And I'm really grateful to the people that I'm working with because, you know, like the room has been together for a while and I'm just sort of like careening in. But, I actually joined the room for 2 days just to see how episodes, how they break story, which is kind of like an amazing thing. And it blew my mind. And it was so completely antithetical to book writing, which can be so lonely, which is that like, it was just so nice. It was like a bunch of people. And, you know, if you've worked in a room before, a writer's room, you'll know this, but I was so blown away by getting to have 10 brains on one story and each brain remembering like multiple things and being responsible for like a different aspect of each story. And it was really cool. And so I'm doing that for 2 weeks and it's really, really hard. Part of it is the new information. Part of it is that I want to do a good job, but so much of it is that I have three things that are really important to me that are all in critical points. Like I just figured out how I'm going to end my book. Just as this job came in, just as the notes for something else came in. And so I'm working around the clock and it kind of reminded me of, first of all, it made me crazy. But secondly, it's just not something that could have been avoided because I need to get health insurance before the writer's strike in May. And I'm just really scared that I'm not going to have enough qualifying income in order to guarantee enough hours for next year, because that's how the health insurance works with the Writers Guild. You have to have a certain minimum amount of earnings each year to qualify for health insurance. And the health insurance is amazing, and my partner is on it as well. And so I just feel so much responsibility. And because the strike is happening in May, like, and nobody knows how long it's going to go for, it means that I have to like earn those minimums in like 5 months. And so that's been really on my mind. And yeah, the work itself is wonderful, and I'm so grateful for it. And each individual thing like is its own dream come true in like such a profound way. And it is like the very definition of abundance and all these things. And I say this, I might say it in a way that sounds sort of bizarre. It's because like I'm not gloating, like I'm like enumerating each, again, wonderful, bountiful thing with so much dread, because it is a dream, and it is a dream come true. And it just feels so much, I just feel the pressure of it. And I was reminded, this is gonna sound so but like I was reminded of this sort of like Zen koan, this like Zen thing of, if you're hungry, eat, and if you're tired, sleep. And that's one of those things that, you know, it seems meaningless because the words, you know, what they imply, and you know that the logic is just so like on the nose. But I sort of work in total defiance of that. Like, I have this belief that my life would be better if I could pre-eat for the next week and then not have to worry about eating for the next week, or like pre-sleep, or like all of these things. And you know, that other thing of like, if you are living in the past, or you're thinking too much about the past, you're depressed. And if you're thinking too much about the future, you're anxious. And like, it's very much the same thing. There is no problem with having three things. Like, it is all wonderful. And ultimately, I know I will have time to do all of these things. I just have to do them one at a time and in the order that they are due. And that's what I mean by like, eat when you're hungry and sleep when you're tired. And so I'm fine. It's just, I spend so much time, especially at night, ruminating about these three things. Like, if I'm working on one, I'm like tripping out on how I'm not working on the other two. And if I'm like resting or eating, instead of just resting or eating, these things that I do so desperately need to be able to show up for all this like stuff in my life, I'm like getting up to write something down, or I'm like so scared this like idea that I had for the order that something should go in, or this like little bit of dialogue is gonna like run away. And that's fine. I'm not saying like you lack discipline if you have to write that shit down. Like, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that like my brain is just trying to do all of it at once. And that's when doing like having three things to do is a problem, not the three things in and of themselves. And so that's what I wanted to share about, like, you know, I have this thing with, similarly, like I have this thing with ADHD where I spend so much time being waylaid and whipsawed by the velocity of ideas and the way that my brain opens tabs. And then I spend so much time trying to make my mind slower and closing tabs. And then I spend more time than both those activities thinking of ways that I cannot open tabs so that I wouldn't have to close them. Which, again, that makes sense too. But basically what I'm doing is I'm sitting there fantasizing about wishing I didn't have ADHD instead of just like doing the job or doing the writing or doing the sitting or doing the resting or doing the eating or doing the listening to my partner telling me something about their life, because inconveniently everybody's lives are sort of going on as well. And yeah, like that's been a struggle too, you know, the sheer amount of effort I put into being busy and then also worrying about being busy. Like, I have this thing, and I don't know if it's a freelancer's thing, and I just point out all of these things to just question and bring mindfulness to the fact that I'm doing it, and question whether maybe you're doing it too. Like, maybe you are, maybe you're not, but if you have identification, like, this is apparently what we're doing, and I'm just carving out this time to acknowledge that. But like, as a freelancer, or like rather when I worked a regular job, and in both my last like actual go to an office, sit down at an office and have meetings jobs, like they required a lot of travel. They required a lot of like events or like concentrated pushes for like, you know, just like crazy times where you're working around the clock at certain moments. And a lot of jobs are like that. They're, you know, any sort of project based, any product based, any like anything with a timeline, that's what it will be. Like you will have a crunch time. My partner and I actually call it camp, so that we know that even if, you know, someone is around, that their brain is basically not around because they're at camp. And I say this, and when I worked in magazines, my other friends in magazines, we would basically just take turns telling each other, like, you're not allowed to make any decisions when you're closing. And closing means that you're actually like reading the magazine issue, you're shipping it off, you're making changes, you're doing like all the things that are really important, that are really hard, kind of when you have the least energy at the very, very end. And so no rash decisions when you're closing, like no breakups, don't cut bangs, no like $2,000 boot purchases, none of that during closing. And similarly, like when I had a job, like I knew during closing, don't do that. During a tentpole event, don't do that. But when you're freelance, like short of like coming out with a book and like going on tour, I don't really know when those crunch times are. And sometimes those crunch times, like I am in right now, are like three separate things. And so a lot of the time I don't feel like I should have credit to be at camp or to be in closing mode, and I forget. And it's this interesting thing that I remember when I had permission to be completely like off grid, because again, like if a corporation's telling me I'm busy, like I believe them. But if I tell myself I'm busy, I'm inclined to believe myself slightly less. Everything would fall to the wayside. I would require a lot more friend patience and be like, hey, like I would just ghost my friends basically and be like, they'll understand, you know, like I'll pick it back up at the end. But when it's just me and I'm freelance, I don't do that. Like, I also spend just as much time wishing I didn't have ADHD as feeling shitty about not being a good friend and like really overextending myself to make social plans as well as all this other stuff that's going on. And I have this like thing in my mind that if I do like a billion work units, that I need a billion social units. As if I'm like canceling out the work units, as if the social units are like now like the self-care units or something. And I know I'm not the only one to do this, but like I didn't used to do this. And I really think it's a product of like me setting my own hours, me setting my own schedule, me setting my own workload versus some like corporate mandate. So, which is to say, I'm kind of still doing it right now. I'm really, really tired. But I think I'm going to stop. Like, I think that this is something I cannot do for next week. And because these things are still going to be going on next week, I think that's important. And similarly, even when I only have two things the following week, I need to give myself, like, the credit and, like, Yeah, the acknowledgement that all of this rest that I needed to have been doing is going to go somewhere. Yeah. So I'm busy and I'm really trying to, instead of be critical about it and instead of being in dread about it, be like joyful and happy about it. Like, I really think this kind of stuff sort of works. You know, smiling until you can believe yourself, like fake it till you make it type thing. And in moments when I take time to meditate and just sit and like think about a younger version of myself, and I've said this before and I'll say it again, please keep a picture of yourself as a small child who would be pumped about all the amazing stuff that's going on in your life very close by as you are doing the amazing things that are going on in your life, because it really helps me remember like how excited I'm supposed to be. Like, deadass, like, I shouldn't even be over the fact that I get to live in New York. Like, I should, not like to get into a bunch of shoulds, but like, I know there's a version of me that's so pure that is still completely flabbergasted and like so enthused, let alone working on their own TV show based on an adaptation of their novel, of which there are three, soon to be four, asterisk, let's hope. And that, like, I have a friend who is making another show and they, like, are, like, letting me work on it. Like, of course, like, I deserve it. I'm a genius, whatever. I'm prepared. Like, this has nothing to do with luck. This is all a meritocracy, whatever. Or it's not a meritocracy and this is total cronyism. Whatever on that, too. Like, I can still be super pumped that, like, I know human beings who do this work, which I never would have imagined at any other point in my life. And so, if it sounds gloaty, I think that's fair. Like, I will, like, meet you where you are. If it sounds like I'm full of dread and, like, not appreciative enough, that is okay, too. I'm just here to say that all these conflicting things can be true at the same time, and I am just trying to make the capacity for it and not have to reconcile everything and just, like, pre-rest, pre-everything, and like work on everything at the same time, because that's impossible. Like, I'm just trying to be gentle even when things feel like a collision, because I am learning that excitement feels like a collision and that abundance feels like a collision. And that is okay. There's a lot of reasons why I think this way. Hashtag immigrant parents. And that's okay too. So have a gentle week. I'm thinking of you. Who knows what next week will bring, but yeah, have a gentle, gentle day.